Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
And I'd like to introduce a mighty warrior of God, Ken Josar.
Okay. Look, I love that somebody moved the pulpit for me. Because, you know, when it's up here, it's like right there. And then it looks like I'm at Costco. Because Costco's new carts are right here. It's so crazy. I don't even get it, but whatever. So, craziness. I love the Holy Spirit. I know you do. And I was just thinking while we were talking about that and the words that came forth that I feel like the Holy Spirit's more real to me than other stuff, like than even flesh and stuff. It's just so real. So I wanted to just share that when we were in the, okay, so everything I've been preparing for a couple of months, getting ready for this, this word got dropped into my heart sitting right over there in a chair, right over there. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, you're going to give this message. I said, okay. So I just started writing everything down. And then about a month ago, Tom asked me if I would. And of course I said, I'm ready. I got the word. So that word, and then I went in the prayer room, and I can't even tell you how many people prayed almost verbatim what the word is that I'm giving out. And then the words that came forth, and just so many different things that are really wonderful. So believe me, the Holy Spirit has a plan, and he knows exactly what we need and when we need it. So, okay, let's get started. So let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the privilege of using me. Thank you, God. I don't want to take this for granted. And I just trust you, Lord, to speak to hearts, to break bondages. And just like John said, and the word says, to smash the rocks that are hindering people. We thank you for your word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you don't know me, my name is Kim Josar. I've been going to Life Church for a little over 5 years. I love this church. I love, don't tell anybody, but I love the size of this church. Everybody always wants a church to grow, but I like it. I like it being small. And I have 4 children and 6 grandchildren and a 7th grandchild on the way and my first great-grandchild all coming up this year. So super exciting. I would love to embarrass some of my children right here. My handsome, wonderful son, Jared. He is my only son, so he's the only one I get to embarrass. And I'm so glad that he came out today. So it kind of adds a little extra pressure to me. That's his beautiful wife, Bruna, and they have their baby with them, Charlotte. And I'm sure that she's with her papa somewhere in the building. I don't know where. But anyways, so here we go. Let's do this. So the title of my message, if you're taking notes, or if you're not taking notes, Dana will have them on the app later.
They're in now.
They're in now? Oh.
Your scriptures aren't in.
Okay. Well, so the title is called Take a Deep Breath. And I love taking a deep breath whenever. So my personality type is pretty even keeled. That's how I am. I don't really get upset about stuff. As a matter of fact, when like there's emergencies or stuff, I'm usually just like, okay, what are we gonna do? But if I need to, I stop myself. I take a deep breath. I go, okay, cool. Bring it down a notch. So that's what we're gonna do. We're just gonna bring it down a notch just a little bit. So before we start, I wanted to say one thing about the Word of God. So if you're from Life Church, you know this. If you're not from Life Church, I'll share it with you. The Word of God is inerrant, God-breathed. It is the first authority and the final authority here at Life Church. It is for me and it is for so many people. So I say that because I want you to know I'm going to be hitting the scriptures hard. And the reason for that is because that's where the answers are. That's where all the answers are. So if you were here, I think it was last week, Roberta did communion. Did anybody see that? Were you here when Roberta did communion? It was so good. And what she said was, she said the book, she was talking about books and the book, the Bible. She said the written word of God was alive, that it wasn't dead, that it wasn't old or archaic. And I thought, that is so true. It's so alive that every time I open it, 40 years I've been reading this book, because I was a Catholic before that and you weren't allowed to touch it. So for 40 years I've been reading it, it's alive, and it changes me every day. That's the best part. So she quoted Hebrews chapter 4. That's the first scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow." And I love this. "It judges the thoughts and intentions or attitudes of your heart." So what that means is if we let the word get inside of us in our spirit, man, it'll fix our thinking. Yes. It'll change our mind. It'll make us think the way that God thinks, yeah, not the way that the world thinks, right? The other one is John brought this up, and this is not my life scripture, but one of the ones that, you know, you have pasted all over your house. Jeremiah 23, we don't have it on the board, but you can write it down and look it up later if you want. Jeremiah 23:29 says, "Is not my word like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces?" Wow. if that doesn't get you, this breaks the rocks in pieces. That's what does it. Okay, so we're going to look to the word of God for some answers. I have questions. You may not, but I have some questions. So let's do it. Let's get ready and take a deep breath. Here we go. Okay. So recently, in the last probably year, I've been hearing this phrase, and I'm sure you've heard it. Tell me if you have. "We are living in unprecedented times." You hear that phrase before from people? "We're living in unprecedented times." It's on the news all the time. "These are unprecedented times. These are," and I'm like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? So if you know me, you know that I love a dictionary. I love definitions. So let's look at this one. Unprecedented. Unprecedented means without previous instance, never before known or experienced, unexampled, unparalleled, never done or known before. Wow. Is right. So when someone says something's unprecedented, I think, are they saying they've never seen this before? They've never heard this before? This is never, or do they not know what the word means? But I thought, no. So what do you do? If you're like me, I go back to the word of God. So nothing is unprecedented. So we're going to talk about that. So if there's an anchor scripture or a scripture that we say the whole message is based on, it's Ecclesiastes 1:9. Ecclesiastes 1:9. Let's read it together. "What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun." Woo! That's such a relief to me, and it's so comforting. It is so comforting that I don't have to look at my future and think, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? The sky is falling. And no. So you go back to the word, and suddenly you go like, what has been will be again. What has been done before will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun.
Yes.
I love that. It ministers to me. I'm sure it'll minister to you. Okay, let's talk about a few examples. So I love visual examples. I'm a visual learner. So I'm going to show you some visual examples. My first example, oh, by the way, these are real photographs. You notice that right there. These are photographs from back in the days of Moses. Anybody know what that is? Yeah, that's the golden calf, right. And so Aaron... I hate that picture of Aaron or whoever that is going like, oh, golden calf. So they created this calf so that they could worship an idol, a little g god. And I don't even know what they were looking for. I think it was probably food or something. They're just looking. So they created this calf. Bummer. But there's nothing new under heaven. So look at this one. Oh, how about that one? Who knows where that is? Yeah, that's in New York City, isn't it? That is an idol of idols. That is about the bull market. That is about people putting their faith and their trust and their hope in money. Nothing new under heaven. I told my husband during COVID, if COVID did anything, didn't really rattle us much, but I tell you what, it made me see that really everything's about money. I didn't know it. I was so naive, I didn't believe it, but it really is. So there you go. I don't worship that, but I know there are people down there every day who do. Okay, let's look at another one. Woo! Anybody know who that is? Yeah, you guys are so smart, you Bible doers. That is Moloch, the little G God of child sacrifice. I am embarrassed as a human being that this is recorded in the Bible. I am. I'm actually embarrassed. There was a God that we sacrificed children to? Come on. What the? Have we evolved or have we devolved? I think we've devolved. But I mean, let's see our next picture. Here we go. Whatever side you're on, I am not making a political statement. I'm just saying there's nothing new under heaven. Nothing new under the sun. Okay, let's see what the next picture is. Oh, this is interesting. So let me read this because I'll have to read it to you. So witchcraft. Is witchcraft in the Bible?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, it's all over the Bible. It's all in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. It's everywhere. So I believe the witch of Endor is in, I think it's in 1 Samuel. Where Saul called on the witch of Endor to call up the spirits of the dead. So witchcraft is real. So is witchcraft around today?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. That's 2017. Calling all witches to spell to bind Donald Trump and all those who abet him. Woo! Good thing they have no power over us. So anyway, what I think is really interesting about this, in 1990, the census, you know, when you take a census, you can click your box if you're a Christian or if you went. There were 8,000 practicing witches, or Wicca, which is a 501c3 church. If you didn't know that, they are an actual church. There were 8,000 members click the box. In 2018, 1.8 million practicing members in Wicca. That's 2018. We're 5 years later now. It should tell you two things. People are hungry for God. They are hungry for a move of the Spirit. They are hungry for something outside of themselves, and that the devil is alive and real. That's the two things it should tell you. I'll tell you another little side note fact. With 1.4, so I said witchcraft was 1.8 in 2018, the Presbyterian Church had 1.4 ticks, 1.4 million. That should, as a Christian, man, that should make you get like, hey, we are not having this. We're not going to do this. But it's here. It's real. It's okay. Nothing new under the sun. We've got this. So, okay. So I think that might be all the pictures I have, but I want to just mention a few more things. So, of course, we know there was homosexuals in the Bible. All the way through the New and Old Testament, right? And there's homosexuals now. Nothing new under the sun. It's not like all of a sudden in 1970, there's homosexuals everywhere. No, it's always been around. Nothing new. So we don't need to freak out about it. How about transgenderism? Is that in the Old Testament? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. There were eunuchs. That's not my picture, but you can hold that for 1 second, but I will go to that one. Eunuchs in the Old Testament were mostly slaves, and they were castrated they didn't have a choice. They were castrated against their will, and they were used to guard women's areas. So back in that time, like the men hung out in one area and the women hung in another area, so they would put these eunuchs there, I guess assuming that without a genitalia, they wouldn't bother the women. I don't know, but so there were. So it did happen. It does happen. Don't freak out. Take a deep breath. It's okay. So there were murderers then. There are murderers now. We know this. We see it every day. People getting drunk then, people getting drunk now. Happens every day. Let me think. I wanted to tell you about the tsunami thing. Yeah, so this picture that's up here right here. If you don't know what that is, I'll tell you now. So these are some ancient boundary stones in Japan. They're all over the coast of Japan, and historians have marked them from 1200 to 1600 years old, these stones. You know what they say? They say, be mindful not to build anything past this stone because a tsunami or a large wave could hit. What do you think happened? What do you think happened? Yeah, I think it might have been that bull. I think it been about money because they built resorts and homes and all kinds of things right on the water. And I am so horrified to say when I saw that, when we saw the tsunami, what happened? It obliterated them. And I thought, what does the scripture says? Don't move an ancient boundary stone. You listen to what it says. So those people from 1600 years ago were, whatever they did, said, don't build a house past this. But as you can see, and if you remember that tsunami that I remember so well, it was horrible, horrible. So nothing new under the sun. This is my last one, and this one really got to me, so I'm sure it'll get to you. I was thinking of Peter and John. Peter and John walking, talking, preaching, and they walk past the gate, beautiful. And at the gate, beautiful, they see a man who says, someone said it earlier already in the service, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. And what did Peter say? Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have, let me give you. Do we have beggars on the corners of our streets, of our cities, everywhere we go? I mean, I'm saying this for me. How many times have I stopped to say, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, let me give you. I am ashamed to say, I give money sometimes. Sometimes I look at them with disgust. I'm just being honest with you. Sometimes I feel led by the Holy Ghost. I give them $5. But how many times have I ever stopped? I promise you, not even one. Not one time have I ever stopped and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you. I mean, shame on me. But the good thing is there's nothing new under the sun. This is not about condemnation. It's not about anything like that. This is just about us growing and evolving and moving into the things of God, right? That's why we're looking at these things. This is why it's so important. So when they say things are unprecedented, I put one more on there, slavery. Blah. Slavery. So right now, the buzzword around town, everywhere you go, people are talking about human slavery. Slavery is not just sex slavery, although that's a horrible, disgusting thing. But slavery happens all over the world every day. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old children working in factories. Was there slavery in the Bible? Yes, there was, everywhere. Do I understand it? Not always. When I get to heaven, I'll ask. Will I care probably then? No. But slavery is around, and it's still around today. All these things that we see, because what happens is we hear people say stuff all the time like, oh, this is such a terrible world. I don't want to have children. I don't want to have children. I'm afraid that they're going to grow up in a horrible world. How about they say, I feel so bad for the youth. I hear this all the time. I feel so bad for the youth of today. Oh, the things they have to face. No, no. Do we really believe the word of God? Were they born for such a time as this? Amen. Why would it be important for us to know this? Why is it important that we look and get a perspective that's different than what the world says? Matter of fact, forgive me, I don't know which one of you said this to me earlier about, it was Janine. She got up and gave a word in the prayer meeting and she said, don't fix your eyes on what's going on in the world. Fix your eyes heavenward. Yes. And I thought, there you go. That'll be the message. That's it. And that's exactly true. You've got to get your eyes off of what's going on in the world. It doesn't mean we hide under a rock, does it? We don't put our heads in the sand. We don't run with our tail between our legs. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. So we know that we're not going to run from it. But what are we going to do? Well, we're going to do some good stuff. I want to tell you this one thing. I'm going to switch over. As you guys know, I'm a scientist. For some reason, I guess you don't believe that. No, I'm not. I did my due diligence with Google. No, I'm kidding. I did look this up. This is true. So you know there's this developing science right now called brain science. It's literally developing as we speak. They are constantly finding new things out of our brain. There was a time when they didn't think your brain could change. But guess what? They found out that you can develop new neural pathways every day, every minute. You can do that. And they didn't know this before. So in brain science, I found this out. It said when you focus your gaze on the world or what's happening around you, you create neural pathways of fear. I didn't write that, and a Christian didn't write that. You create neural pathways of fear. I can see how that happens because I see it every day with people. I see people freaked out by this stuff every single day. And it's true. It's not, no matter where you go, no matter who you talk to, people have something to say about what's going on in the world right now. But we want to create different neural pathways. So they also tested when you focus your attention on God in faith, lifting heavenward, it said you create neural pathways of joy. Amen. I mean, it shouldn't be a surprise to us. I didn't even change the verbiage. This was their exact verbiage. You create neural pathways of joy. And when I read the Word of God and it steadies me and it comforts me, joy rises up on the inside of me. Like, this isn't the end. We know the end of the book. We've read it. We know what it says. How cool is that, that God would give us options to see how things are going? Because you know what? If you do look at the world in the natural, it's easy to freak out, isn't it? Yeah. It is. All of my children are grown. Now, my youngest baby turned 30 yesterday. So he's bringing up babies, and his wife's pregnant with another baby. And I want a good world for them. But that world is focused and centered on the realities of the Bible. The realities of the Bible and the Word of God. That's how I look at them. That's how I pray over them. That's what I see happening for them. And so I don't let that distract me. Because that's the enemy's plan, right? To distract us. Yes. Distraction is the plan. He's like, what was it like in The Wizard of Oz? Nothing to see behind the curtain. Nothing to see in there. Nothing, nothing. And, you know, and the thing is, we're all like turning all the little knobs. No. No. We're just like, okay, nope. Let's look at some of these scriptures to help us get through this next part. So 1 John 4. There is no fear in love. Remember we talked about those neural pathways of fear. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So the NIV says, fear brings something with it. There's a word that I like much better than punishment. Fear brings torment. That's what the word says in NIV. It says, fear brings torment. So if you talk to people today, you know, that's exactly what's going on. They're tormented by fear. They're tormented by what's going on in our culture. They're tormented by people getting shot and all these crazy things going on. But once again, we go back to love. Yeah. We go back to no fear in love because perfect love drives out fear, right? Okay, Proverbs 13:12, another scripture. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. So hope deferred makes the heart sick. Do you know what that means literally? People are getting sick, physically sick because of fear. Wow. People are physically sick because of fear. It manifests in all kinds of ways. But what it really means is their hope has been deferred, diminished, taken away from them. They don't even see hope. And if you talk to many young people, not the ones in 129, but a lot of kids will tell you they don't see any good in their future. They don't see anything. Hope deferred makes your heart sick. So what do we know about this? We know, number one, our fight is not against flesh and blood. People are not our enemy. Humans are not the enemy. Who's our enemy? Powers, principalities, rulers of wickedness in high places. That's what the word says. So where do you have to look? Powers, principalities, rulers of wickedness, high places. It's above this.
Yes.
It's above this. So we know that's not our fight is not that. Our fight is not with that. This is so I want to encourage you that you just shake that off you. You shake that thing off of you that tells you doom and gloom is here. Or everything horrible is coming. Why would, I mean, I don't, Ryan, you've never said this, but I'm thinking like Ryan could say, why should I ever get married? Why should I ever have kids? The world's all going to end. No. No. People were born for such a time as this. Such a time as this. So if you think about this, every child that's been born from the beginning of time, Moses, whatever, Adam, all of them,
yes,
till today. So I was born in 1958. This is where you guys go, you didn't know I was that old. Yeah, 1958, perfect timing. Whatever he chose, that was his time. 2023, Oak, baby Oak was born. Perfect timing. God knew it. He wasn't going like, oh, geez, what am I going to do now? Another baby. Holy cow. Every life is from God. Everyone that he picks. Pastor Tom. 1959, perfect timing. Everybody, it's all different, but God's not in the mistake-making business. Some of us accuse him of that, being in the mistake-making business, but he's not. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says there is a time for everything. I love that they use superlatives. That's a superlative. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. And that goes on to say a time to be born and a time to die. There is a time for everything. I am a realist. I call myself an optimistic realist, but I'm a realist. I know that I will die. Not morbid. It's just a fact. Watch my mom die. It was horrible. It was sad, but I'm going to die. And you know what? Probably after about 10 years after I'm gone, no one's even going to even know my name. They won't even care. But I'm saying that there is a time for everything under heaven. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart so you could be a prophet to the nations. He had a plan. I'm just trying to cement that into you, that you are not here by mistake. There is a plan and a purpose. And I don't care if you're 60, and I don't care if you're 70, and I don't care if you're 80. I don't care what it is. There is a plan for you, and you've got to step into it and stop backing off. The world needs you. The world needs you. Okay. All right. So what is our responsibility? What's our responsibility to our culture? What's our responsibility to our families? What's our responsibility to our friends and those around us? I can tell you this. I know a couple of things. Kingdoms fall, kingdoms rise, but the word of God stands firm forever. If you don't believe me, just check back in about 1,000 years. It'll still be here. It's always been here. So let's look at Isaiah 40, verse 8. Ah. I hope this is making you let your shoulders relax. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. It really does. So when I said that I'm going to die and I'll be gone and no one will even think about it, this will still be sitting here. alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide joint and marrow in the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And if you let it, it'll read you. It'll read you. It'll straighten you out. It'll put you on the right path, and it'll move you in the way of the Holy Ghost. You gotta let it, though. You gotta let it. And the only way you can let it is to take it into your eye gate. The Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You have got to read it. You've got to read it. You can't wait till Sunday. And I'm telling you, as desperate as the world feels, it is desperate, isn't it? It does feel desperate. If I didn't have the word of God, I would be just a little pile of mess on the ground, crying in the corner. But I always go back to it. I always go back to it. I have a friend, happy to call him my friend. His name's Dean Boyer. And Dean is like a machine gun with the Bible. He will machine gun me up one side and down the other with the Bible. And I love it. Because frankly, I don't care what his opinion is. I don't care what people think. I need the word that's going to straighten me up, put me on the right track, help me to fly right. Yeah. How long did he say that the word of God would stand? Forever, right? So here's what we do. We look not with our natural eyes, but what? Our spiritual eyes, right? Our spiritual eyes, our spirit man. We look into the perfect word of God to find direction for what's going on, right? Yes. So in the word of God, we're going to find a word. I'm thinking of one word. Who can think of what that word is? Hope. Hope. That's the word. When you look into the word of God, you find hope. Amen. Because hope is what we need in our culture. We need to share hope with people, right? Romans 15:4. I love this. I don't think it ever spoke to me as much as it did when I did this study. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught through the scriptures and through the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. That means the word of God is designed to give us hope on the inside of us. And I promise you, when you read it with hunger and desire and ask God to change you, you'll get filled with hope and it's going to come out of you. Okay. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Here we go. We're going to do this. So what this means is, we've talked about this before. When you're looking this way and you see all the issues of life and you see what's going on in the world, it's all right there in your face, creating new pathways. But when you lift your chin and you look up, what happens to everything that's right here in your peripheral?
It grows strangely dim.
It grows strangely dim. It's very foggy. Yeah. If you lift your head up, I can tell there's people here, but I don't know who it is. And that's the thing about this scripture. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary. It's so temporary. And what is unseen is eternal.
Good.
I'm telling you, the word of God is so powerful. It is more than just a book that we use to put a stamp on Christianity. It is the word made flesh. Jesus, I know it's hard to grasp because we're just humans. This is Jesus. He said, in the beginning was the word was God, the word was with God, the word became flesh and then dwelt among us. That's why it's alive, because he rose from the dead. He's here. It's here. We have the Holy Spirit. So the next thing I think of is, I always do this thing where I say, Kim, make your mind mind. I want to mind me. Make my mind is not the dictate of what I do. Make your mind mine. So we're going to pull ourselves up. We're going to look at the truth. And we're going to talk about and pray about the future and all that entails for us. Okay, so again, I said it before. So we don't put our heads in the sand. We don't act like nothing's going on, but we face off, full on, face first, with the enemy of our souls, or our children, or our spouses, or our families, or our job, or whatever it is, right? So what I'd like to do to finish up, because I'm already over, and surprise, I'd like to do this. I'd like to quote some scriptures to you, and then at the very end, we're going to have the whole prayer team come up, and we're going to pray specifically about these things. If you've been living in fear, if you find yourself falling into a place where this is really tormenting you, we're going to have the prayer team come up and we're going to do this. So don't forget that the Word of God is living and active. We're going to decree it over our fears, and we're going to stand in our authority because we have authority in the Word of God. Okay, I'm going to read these. They're not going to be up there. If you want to write them down, you can, but if not, I'll give them to Dana for later. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And if you don't believe that, that's a great place to start. Worrying about the future is absolutely fruitless. I'm not kidding. It's 100%. If I could go higher than 100%, I would. It's 100% fruitless. Because you can't change anything in the future by worrying. Nothing. Today has enough problems all of its own. So getting yourself all worried about it, I mean, you know, sometimes my kids or one of my siblings will call me and go, what am I going to do in October? I'm like, what? October? We just got to get through today. Let's just get through today. You know, we'll pray about that later. Okay. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you and help you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He's a helper, man. He is a helper. He's there to help you. He wants you to succeed and do well. Psalm 34, 4 and 5. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Not some of them, all of them. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant and their faces will never be ashamed. Okay, this is for the girls. Proverbs 31:25 says, strength and dignity are her clothing. Amen. She looks at her future and she smiles. Because what's ahead of me is what God has planned for me. And you should smile at your future because, first of all, the Word says you should. Not because I said you should. But a woman looks at her future and she smiles. Okay, Psalm 46, 1 through 3. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way. We just had a huge earthquake. Though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Just ginormous earthquake. Though its waters roar and foam, tsunamis. Though the mountains tremble at its swelling, God is our refuge and our strength. That is the truth. That is the truth. And I just want to encourage you, you got to just force yourself to look over it, to look above it, to look past it. And then ask God, what do you need to do? How do you do it? How do you do it? Yes. I don't have all the answers, but I know they're right here. I'll tell you what I was thinking. This is for another day and another time, but I'll just say this to you. That the Lord spoke to me one day when I was looking on my phone for something. He said, you know, you look for every answer in there when all the answers are right here. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. Sorry about that, because I look for every single thing. And, you know, we're all guilty of it. We do it all the time. But the answers are here. So let me pray for y'all. And then I'm going to call the prayer team up. And then if you feel like you've been dealing with fear, if you've been having tormenting thoughts, if you're worried about the future, if you're worried about what's going to happen to your grandchildren or your children or your unborn children, Don't get in fear of those things. Come up. Let's have the prayer team come up and we'll pray for you. So, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is true, that it never changes. You are steadfast. You are immovable. You are unchangeable. You are amazing. And I am so grateful for that, God. It brings me such comfort to know that nothing changes with you, God. We love you. We trust you. I loose your peace on these people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.